Hello, my name is Clayton. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from lust, pride, and not trusting God is good. Please pray with me. Oh, yeah, my bad. Hey, just like for all set group. I always forget. Okay, thank you. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you that your character is true. You are always faithful, always loving. You will never forsake us, never leave us, and we have no reason to be afraid. And I just thank you for the story of grace that you put in my life, and I just pray that I can encourage one person today and let them know that no matter how far you are, God is there. He's waiting, and he's willing, and he will forgive everything. And I thank you that that's something that's true, and we can trust in that. In your name I pray, amen. Okay, it's only by God's grace and love for us all that I'm here today getting to share my testimony. From an early age, it was imprinted on me to serve others, do good things, and hopefully I'd get the gain God's acceptance and then go to heaven. I was told that if you didn't, you would have consequences. As a child, I had a problem with authority as a result of having an alcoholic parent. I could only imagine my father in heaven as my earthly father, who I feared and wanted to get away from. In middle school, after my mother's divorce and subsequent marriage to my stepdad, we started attending church. Here, I heard the message repeatedly that Jesus came into the world to save sinners like me. The only problem was I didn't believe that I was a sinner. And I would consistently compare myself to others and justify my continued sins by telling myself, at least I'm not that person. This was a struggle of mine throughout my teenage years when I would always have one foot doing church things and my other foot would be doing me things and things that I wanted to do. I never saw church as being enjoyable because I felt it was another check-the-box item to do in order to get into heaven. When I went to college, I continued trying to do church activities, Bible studies, hanging out with Christian people, but I just felt fake, and I worried that they're going to call me out one day for not knowing my Bible, not being the church guy. Also during this time, my dorm mate started to invite me to parties with him and his friends. I decided to go because I figured it can't be worse than the exhaustion that I felt trying to be all things to all people and keep up this appearance. When I did finally go, I felt what I thought was freedom by being able to not have to think about the repercussions of my actions. I was not being judged by good and bad by these new people. They were just looking to have fun. I thought that was awesome. This appealed to me greatly, and I stopped doing the church activities over a period of time and going to church, which I justified by saying God already sent his son, Jesus, to die for me on the cross, and I believe, so I can do whatever I want. This mentality of doing whatever I want led me deeper into the party scene, inappropriate relationships, drugs, drug dealing, arrests I don't remember, waking up in random places, and this deep hatred of myself I could not shake, and fear that I have no idea what's going to happen in my future. This led me to depression because I could not control what was happening, and I felt unworthy of redemption and Jesus' death for me. I felt that he would not be enough to pay for the sins I committed, and that he would not even want to pay for them because I didn't know who he was. This lie from Satan kept me from seeking him through the end of college and throughout my early 20s. On June 30th, 2014, my life came to a crossroads. After a night drinking and assorted drugs, I tried to drive home. I made it a block from my friend's house where I ended up wrecking my car, blacking out, and the next morning waking up in jail not knowing what happened. My mom had to bail me out of jail, and I remember feeling that, oh, this is going to be like my childhood again. I'm about to get yelled at, hit, something. Instead, she was just so sad, and she told me she loved me and didn't want to see me hurt myself like this anymore. She couldn't stand it. And in her response to me, I was reminded of the verse, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. This was this verse that we had growing up. It was on our refrigerator and in our kitchen, on our countertops. But this moment, I realized I'd been chasing my own plan, and it had led me down a path of destructive relationship choices and a hopeless future. After this, I made the promise to God that I would start to look for a church where I could go. It took 3 months of searching, and I was feeling like I made a mistake, and maybe my choices were not so bad. Maybe I could go back to what I was doing. This is when a coworker of my mom invited me to the porch. This just so happens to be starting tomorrow at 7 p.m. And I had checked it out once before, but I was overwhelmed by the amount of people. There's like 3,900, and that's insane. And so I left early. This time I figured, oh, okay, I guess I kind of know someone, so there'll be someone to talk to, so it can't hurt to check it out again. Fast forward to February, which is a couple months later, and I had just returned from visiting my biological father in California, and I had forgiven him for his actions from when I was a child. I realized this was not something I ever would have dreamed of happening, and that the only explanation I could come up with was that this was part of God's plan for me. This is when I stumbled on the verse, Proverbs 3:5-6, which would become one of my life verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. I decided I would just say yes and let him lead when opportunities in church came up. Simple. This led me to becoming a member, joining a community group, and eventually attending Regeneration, even if unwillingly at first. When discussing my past with my new community group, the topic of regeneration was brought up as one guy had already done it, two other guys were thinking about it, and they invited me to go with the guy starting. I figured, I can spare 12 Mondays to go through a 12-step program. Yeah. By the laughter, most of you know, regeneration's a 10 to 12-month program. Me not knowing that, my first night was terrible because I felt that my new community group had hoodwinked me into attending. Yeah, I wanted to quit after the first week. I felt I didn't have that much that needed fixing, but thought maybe I'd attend until my fellow community group member stopped attending. What surprised me was that he never stopped going. And he even started opening up with things that I felt, but never had the confidence or never would share with someone else. I was so blessed by God to get to go through this process with him and go through a step group with him, because God used this guy to open my eyes to things I'd previously not thought were problems of mine. I'd grown up with pornography, drinking. It was a normal thing that I felt everyone did. So as long as it did not compromise my work or social life, I was going to be okay. I deluded myself into thinking I was doing fine, when in reality, I was quite the opposite. In recovery, I was forced in the inventory stage to face these issues and see that I did not have the control I so desperately wanted. For so long, I had used pornography as a way to fulfill my desire for physical intimacy without what I perceived as the hassle of having to deal with another person. Throughout the inventory stage, God revealed to me through my mentor and community group that I used pornography and drinking as a way to avoid getting close to people because I feared being hurt by allowing myself to be vulnerable to others. Another obstacle that I had to confront was my belief that God could not be trusted as good. I believed that people knew my past and my issues, they would not want anything to do with me. This is a lie from Satan that for so long I believed because I thought I had to do more good than bad to be loved. It's God who made the first move to show his love for me and you by sending his only son, Jesus, to be the payment for sin on the cross that we could never be. Because of this act, nothing I do will change the way he loves me. This was one of the most difficult beliefs for me to change because for so long, I felt I had to earn my salvation, and I was always worn out and exhausted trying to do things to earn his favor. In step 7, I chose to ask God to change my heart and mind so that I would fully follow Christ. In this step, God began refining how I interacted with people by placing me in situations I'd previously been angry, frustrated, or annoyed. Only by his grace and mercy was I able to be loving, resolve conflicts amicably, and be at peace with the outcome. As I started to combat the lies of Satan that would be told to me so often, my thoughts with the truth throughout the Bible that Jesus paid for every sin, I began to experience freedom from anxiety, worry, doubt, and depression. Going through the amends process, I realized many of the people I hurt were the ones who were closest to me. As I got the opportunity to make amends, God used it as a means to express why and how I have been changed. This was one of the most uncomfortable things I've ever done, having to humble myself, be dependent on the Lord, and do the honorable thing, and not what I wanted to do, which is to bury it deep and not talk about it again. My family recognizing the change in me and wanting to know more about why I changed gave me this platform to share Jesus that I never thought I would have. During step 11, intimacy, I developed my own personal relationship with God by daily spending time in the Bible, memorizing scripture, and also sharing with those around me what God has done for me and in my life. This was the most rewarding because I felt joy and happiness greater than anything I'd ever gotten from a party, a drug, or a person. I learned I can rely on the promises of God because he fulfills his promises. He's freely available, and he's there for everyone who wants to know him. Life now for me is full of hope and joy, knowing that our eternal Father so loved me, he sent his Son to die so that I could gain access to the Father. Through the Holy Spirit gives me a sense of value that'll never be taken away. In the midst of trials and situations out of my control, I can rest in the fact that our Father in heaven loves us and we get access to him through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and the Holy Spirit who's working within us to make us a dwelling place for him. My walk with God is also different now in that I don't treat the Bible as an academic textbook with just rules to follow. I see it as God's love story of how much he loved us. Seeing the Bible as a love story, I see that everything I do is an overflow of God's love for me. Not that I have to earn his love through the good deeds. It's so much more than a just check the box thing. It's that God's using me to help his other children, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And every opportunity is a chance for someone to hear how much God loves them. Seeing people as heirs to the promise of Jesus has greatly influenced my relationship with people and the way I handle conflict. I am much more joyful, compassionate, patient, loving, kind, and generous because of the work the Holy Spirit has done and is doing in me. I am mindful of the words I speak, and when I sin against someone, I work to seek forgiveness as soon as possible versus trying to avoid the other person and avoid the uncomfortable moment for as long as possible. This also has helped me in community by helping me to be more understanding of others because no one outside of Jesus is perfect, and we all will be disappointed when we try to be perfect. I'm so blessed by the guys I am in community with because I get to grow, be encouraged, and encourage them like they do me. Through regeneration, I have learned some tools that help me address the deeper heart issue that causes me to sin and also to identify warning signs of when problems are popping up. Unfortunately, I do not always listen to these signs, and that leads me down a path of destruction where I chase my own desires. By God's grace, those instances are fewer and farther in between, and when they do happen, I have a community of strong Christian men around me that I can confess to and get the course correction I desperately need. One thing really stuck with me that my mentor said, and that I feel is so true now, it's not that I have got to wake up, read my Bible, do a quiet time, or any of that. It's I get to read my Bible. I get to wake up and have a quiet time. By God's mercy, I get to live in a country where I can freely read my Bible and also share that faith that I've been blessed with. That mindset change has helped me to look forward to quiet times and have a passion for them that I had never had before. Now, when I go a day without spending time in the Bible, thinking about all that I have and being grateful to God for what He's done in my life, it's apparent to me and to others. I'm quick to isolate, get angry, and become frustrated with others. But God's great love provides me with compassion that never fails and faithfulness that never wavers. This gift from God is freely available to all who want it. As the foundation verse in step 12 states in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 18, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." If this is your first time at Regeneration, I would want you to know that you are in the right place. Keep coming back and keep being open to hearing the message that God's making out of so many people's messages. I'm Clayton. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from lust, pride, and not trusting God's good. Thank you for letting me share.